And so as we come now to look briefly at this short passage again, you might find yourself thinking, hey, that's something I hadn't noticed before. Kind of like Great Aunt Joan at my family Christmas party. I could have sworn I'd never seen her before, but apparently she's been there every 5 years or so, so I must have met her. And who knows, you might find something new and interesting as we look at this unfamiliar bit of the Christmas story tonight. But my hope is that you might also find something significant in the unfamiliarity of this little passage, something that has the potential to change how you think about Christmas and about Jesus. One of the things that might have been unfamiliar here is the fact that the baby Jesus was a political refugee in Egypt for a while. Did you see that? Joseph and his young family fled from Bethlehem to Egypt in the dead of night. And from there, Jesus spent some of his childhood living in Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen any nativity scenes with pyramids in the background. And baby Jesus living as a refugee in Egypt is not something that immediately springs to mind when I think about Christmas. I don't know, maybe you thought he was living on Christmas Island or something. Yet we managed to crowd all the different bits of the nativity scene into one little space. We've got the baby in a manger, the shepherds, the animals crowding around, the wise men bringing their extravagant gifts. But Joseph fleeing to Egypt in the dead of night with his young family and his son, I don't know, it's kind of too hard to fit in that little scene on the mantelpiece, isn't it? It's just not something that we have there. It's not something that we usually include as part of the Christmas story. I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking that this is an unfamiliar part of the Christmas story. But it's probably worth saying at this point that even if we are unfamiliar with this aspect of Jesus' life, it's something that has always been fairly well known about him. Jesus living as a child in Egypt is something that we read about him in ancient historical sources outside the Bible, even those written by people who were hostile to Jesus. In fact, many of the ancient references to Jesus that are outside the Bible are from hostile sources. That is, they're written by people who wanted to discredit Jesus and his followers. And so obviously they're interested in presenting a deliberately negative picture of Jesus. And yet what they provide for us, incidentally, is confirmation about the facts that we do read in the Bible, like the fact that Jesus lived for a while in Egypt. So while it might be unfamiliar to us, Jesus as a child in Egypt is a reality that we should add to our mental image of the Christmas story. So, okay, we've alerted ourselves to the fact that Jesus was in Egypt. But what I want to do now is talk just briefly about why he was there. You might have noticed as we read that little passage that there were two reasons given for why Jesus was in Egypt. The first is an immediate and practical reason, and the second looks more at the big picture. The first reason given is that Jesus' very existence was seen as a threat by the self-proclaimed king of the day, King Herod. King Herod saw Jesus as a threat to his throne, and so he wanted Jesus out of the picture, baby or not. His plan was to search Bethlehem, find Jesus, and kill him. But as we read in verse 13, Joseph was forewarned of this, and he's told to flee to Egypt to keep the child out of harm's way. Have a look at it there again in verse 13 with me. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So Joseph fled with his young family to Egypt in order to get them away from the murderous clutches of King Herod, who would not stop at anything to eliminate any threat to his throne. And so, as I've already suggested, Jesus was in Egypt as a kind of political refugee. That's the first reason that we find in this passage. It's an immediate and practical reason. The second reason that Jesus was in Egypt is a much more big picture reason. In fact, it's a reason that stretches back more than 700 years before Jesus to the time of Hosea and Isaiah, who we've just heard from earlier tonight in those other passages. It's a reason grounded not simply in the pragmatics of keeping the baby Jesus safe, but in the big picture purposes of God. It's a reason grounded in those prophecies that were made so many centuries earlier. And it all centres on those last few words of verse 15. Have a look at them with me. "And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Jesus was in Egypt so that those words, "out of Egypt I called my son," those words that were written by Hosea more than 700 years earlier, so that those words would be fulfilled in Jesus. Although, did you notice that when Rose read that passage from Hosea for us, did you notice that when God said, "out of Egypt I called my son," he wasn't talking about Jesus originally. And in fact, he wasn't even looking forward to a future event either. He was looking back to something that had already happened. And more than that, the son that God speaks of wasn't a person. It was a nation. Let me read it again for you from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." The son that God called out of Egypt was Israel. These words from around 700 BC are actually looking back even further to around 1300 BC and to the time of Moses. It's looking back to the time when God brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt and into the land that they were now living in. It's looking back to the parting the Red Sea moment, to the Ten Commandments moment, to the fiery mountaintop moment. For those who can remember, it's the Charlton Heston moments. Or for the younger ones among us, it's the Prince of Egypt moments. "Out of Egypt I called my son" is looking back to that moment in Israel's history when God called a nation his son and he brought them out of Egypt. God called Israel his son because he had adopted them. He chose them out of all the nations of the earth. He chose them not just for their own sake, but for the sake of the whole world, so that they would be a beacon, a rallying point to draw the world back to God, so that they would be the first of many brothers and sisters adopted into God's family, a family that would grow to cover the whole earth. "Out of Egypt I called my son." That was the vision that Hosea chapter 11 verse 1 looked back to, and it was quoted for us in our Christmas passage. Except Hosea chapter 11 verse 2, the very next sentence, speaks of how this vision had gone unfulfilled. It says this, "Out of Egypt I called my son, but the more I called Israel, the further they went from me." The story of Israel as the son of God is the story of a wayward son. A son who keeps turning his back on his father. A son who had a great destiny, a great inheritance, but who threw it away. Of course, this wasn't just the problem of Israel. It's really the problem of humanity. Our inclination towards God, well, it's sporadic at best, isn't it? Even our best intentions to honour God as God can easily descend into superficial religion or simply gets lost in the hustle and bustle of me living my life, even at Christmas. especially at Christmas. And Israel was no different. So is it any wonder that they failed to be that beacon for God to the rest of the world? That they failed to be the Son of God through whom the world could be adopted into God's family? How could anyone fill that role? We're hard-pressed even when it just comes to me and God. Even on our best days, we struggle in our own little worlds, don't we? We struggle to live towards God as he deserves. We struggle to live towards each other as he tells us to. How could anyone fill that role when we can't even get it together for ourselves? When we can't even get it together on the home front? And when the brokenness of our world is just so overwhelming at every level, between nations and between friends, within communities and within families. In the midst of that, how could anyone stand as a rallying point to turn the world back to God? What person, what nation could bring our world back to God and restore the brokenness? It's simply beyond us. The gap between God and us is just too great. And so that vision of Hosea, "Out of Egypt I called my son," that vision had gone unfulfilled. Something more was needed. And that something more is what brings us back to the Christmas story. That something more is what was hinted at in that other ancient passage from Isaiah that Rose read for us. A slightly more familiar reference, perhaps. One that does find its way into our Christmas carols. In fact, we've sung a couple of them tonight. The child will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God with us. This was the something more that our world needed. The only one who could bridge the gap between God and us was God himself. The only one who could fulfill the role of the Son of God, the beacon that would draw the world back to God, was God the Son. He became one of us to bring us back to God and to make us his children. Jesus, the Son of God, is God with us. Jesus became what we could not, to achieve for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Jesus is the one, the only one, who can bring us back to God. So much of the Christmas story has become familiar to us, hasn't it? But it shouldn't be familiar. It should be shocking. It should hold us enthralled. This is more than just the moment when a special baby was born. It's the moment in history when God became man. And so it's my hope that this less familiar part of the Christmas story will cut through the familiarity and capture our attention once again. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Just a few words. Unfamiliar words. Obscure, perhaps. But words that are well worth knowing. Because they point to the bigger picture of who Jesus is. Not just a helpless political refugee hiding in Egypt. But God with us. In Jesus, God has fulfilled his plans for humanity. Plans that we see just a glimpse of in this tiny little unfamiliar part of the Christmas story. Jesus is the beacon who draws us back to God. He is the Son of God through whom you can be adopted into his family. Our sporadic, inconsistent attempts to connect with God will get us nowhere. We just can't do it on our own. But the good news is, we don't need to. That's what Jesus came for. So if you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus, then can I suggest to you that perhaps now is the time? If you want to know God, then the only way to do that is to put your trust in Jesus. Don't let your familiarity with Christmas leave you unfamiliar with God. My prayer for you, for you all, is that this Christmas, this little unfamiliar piece of the Christmas story will spark some fresh thoughts amidst the familiarity of shepherds and mangers and wise men. And that maybe for the first time you will see that God has reached out to bring you back to himself. Let me pray that now. Heavenly Father, it is remarkable when we think that you would become one of us to restore the relationship that we had broken. Father, help us to turn to Jesus and be adopted into your family. Amen.